Shirley Harper, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm wonderful. So thank you so much for taking some time. It's a busy week and you're actually in Monaco. And I'm wondering, before we get into some of the specifics, tell us just what the atmosphere, and especially in the last couple of days.
This week has been really exciting. Actually, probably one of the most exciting weeks of my life. The energy is high here. Everyone's very excited and very pleased that the report has been approved. We spent the last week working together really hard with over 100 different governments from countries from around the world, talking to them and discussing the report and the findings of the report and drafting a summary for policymakers. So this week has been abuzz with excitement, and everyone's in very high spirits here right now.
What do you think the main message is, and what is the main thing people should take away from the report?
Well, first of all, I guess I'll say the report is an impressive piece of work. We have over 100 authors from all around the world contributing to the report from 36 different countries. We've taken the past 2 years to put the report together. We had over 30,000 comments from reviewers, and it was just recently approved by 100 different countries from around the world. And in the report, we assess over 7,000 publications. So it's a pretty rigorous piece of work, and you're right, there's a lot of information in there. But I think that what really it bubbles down to is that it doesn't matter where you live in the world, the impacts of climate change on the ocean and cryosphere really impact everyone. And this is the first report to look at that interconnectivity about how the oceans and cryosphere impact you no matter where you live. And that can be through a number of different pathways. So, you know, we see physical impacts like sea level rise, melting glaciers, permafrost thaw, sea ice instability, ocean warming overall. And so the report assessed all of those different things in terms of how climate change is impacting them now, but also how climate change will impact them into the future and what impacts that has on the economy, infrastructure, culture, and livelihoods. But for me, I think that what really stands out for the report is the impact that climate change has on oceans and cryosphere will have on human health.
And that's one of your area of expertise. Talk us through a bit about what that interaction is and how it would impact Indigenous people here in Canada.
For sure. So climate change will impact ocean and cryosphere in a way that will impact food security for everyone. It will impact food safety, nutrition, as well as mental health and well-being, among other health impacts. So, for instance, with a warming ocean, we have reduced fish catch potential, which means we have less fish available and seafood available. And that's really important, especially for coastal communities where seafood and fish consumption is really high. It also impacts food safety. So, for instance, with warming ocean temperatures, there's increased pathogens in the water that can contaminate food, especially seafood, and that can increase the risk of foodborne disease. And we've actually seen that with some shellfish poisoning in coastal areas like British Columbia. And this report shows that those impacts of warming oceans on seafood quality and the impacts it has on foodborne disease will increase in the future.
What, you know, one of the things I remember that Mr. Lee has mentioned is that people in the world don't see the Arctic. They don't see the melting glaciers. But that people have to realize, as you said, that this is all interconnected. You know, here in Canada, even some people don't even know that there's people in the Arctic. Do you think something needs to be done, just sort of in the Canadian context, to make people more aware of this and the influence about, you know, what's happening on a place like Ellesmere Island and how it impacts the rest of the country?
Well, you're absolutely right. Climate change is already exerting huge impacts on the Arctic, and we're seeing those today. They're visible. If you go there, you can see how things are changing up there. You can see permafrost thaw. You can see the impacts that it's beginning to have on infrastructure. So the impacts that climate change is having on the Arctic are already visible. But what's really interesting about this report is that it assesses those impacts, but also looks at how those things that are changing in the polar regions also impact things in other places in the world. So, for instance, with the melting ice caps and melting glaciers, those things are contributing directly to sea level rise, which has impacts not only in the Arctic, but impacts all over coastal areas around the world, including, you know, the most, you know, remote places from the Arctic, like small island states like Fiji, for instance. So this report really ties those pieces together, and all of a sudden, the Arctic isn't such a faraway place. The impact that climate change is having on the Arctic actually impacts each and every one of us.
And Cheryl Lee Harper, those were the questions that I had for you. But I wanted to leave you with the last word. If there's something that you wanted in particular to sum up for our listeners.
Well, one thing that I find really exciting about this report is that the IPCC has used Indigenous knowledge as an additional source of evidence to inform the report. And I think that this is really important. And this meant that a lot of Inuit voices from Canada were actually able to be integrated into the report. I think that Indigenous knowledge has a really important role to play in these types of assessments in terms of understanding how climate change is impacting our environment, but also understanding how to respond to those changes.
Well, Cheryl Lee Harper, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.